Any other questions?
I read this article, Guy's Light, about spiritual specialization. And I just had a question. I was wondering, the article just dealing with, I guess, how a person should choose a path for themselves seems to lay out the idea that based on the Mishnah, that there are this Torah, Voda, and Gula Sukhsadis, so that each person, what I got from the article is that there's a balance between the community's needs and a person's own abilities. And I just didn't see discussed in the article, I guess, the factor when you're dealing with those three areas of the fact that usually by Torah we say that that's an obligation on each individual, unless there's something which is actually all the acher. So I just wasn't sure how that played into the article.
Get the fact of the book, because that's what's in the articles. Long, long time since that was written. I didn't write it, but since delivered. But my general position on this, I can tell you, and I think I understand your question. There is the issue of specialization, one which does indeed involve balancing community's needs against personal needs. I don't think that the presumption should be that if you could forget about the community, then everybody would just be sitting and learning and doing nothing else. I think when Chazal speaks in Mishnah, Shlesh Babay Meteorah, it was a sudden that you're dealing not only with the macrocosm, one of the pillars, the tripod which supports the general world, but one of the components, spiritually speaking, of each person of Eretz Hashem. Using the term avodah in its broader sense. My understanding is that in terms of the inclusion of all three components within the complex of individual or common avodah Hashem, all three are essential components. And I think that it's like a tripod. In the absence of any one leg, I think the whole thing collapses. That is not to say, or to put it differently, I think that the world within which, the world that we live in, and maybe some other ideal world, but the world that we live in, which the Bresh has placed us, the person should be basic only in Torah, only in Gemilas Chasadim, only in Aveda, is a deficiency in hearing. And with very rare exceptions, extremely rare, the assumption is that, even for the exceptions, I think it depends on which level, the assumption is that there's a fundamental infrastructure, substratum, within which all components are there. Then there's an option of branching out, as it were, a person being basic in one area as opposed to another area. Presume that as far as the proportions, Chazal, there were different days. And I think that's perfectly to be expected and perfectly legitimate. My Shabbos says, one of my was Mike and Tfila, Rava was critical. He said, because and Tfila concerns a plea for your mundane secular needs. My response is, we clearly have an example of the Machlekes amongst the Amoraim as to how much time and effort you should devote to one area, to tefillah as opposed to Talmud Torah. A much more radical example is the Gemara in Brachos, where the Chassidim and Rishonim says that the Rishei Shachas, the Tfilos Shach, Tfiloson, and an hour they daven. So it makes a cheshbon, so three times a day daven. Each time 3 hours go down the tube, 9 hours a day, when do they learn? Well, it said, since the tzaddikim, teros mishtameres. So teros mishtameres is only to answer something they put on the communal need. So the Torah is preserved. But meanwhile, they're only learning a few hours a day. 9 hours a day, they're davening. And apparently the Gemara considers that to be legitimate. For Chassidim and Rishonim, maybe it's not legitimate for you, not legitimate for me, but considered to be legitimate. Presumably the 9 hours are not being spent, or even 3 hours of actual tefillah not being spent on Bakoshi. Well, the Bakoshi is central to the conception of tefillah on Pialoch and Apiashkov. Likewise, the Gadim and his Chassidim. Gemara says, Shem and Levi would not go for Nichum Avelim to anyone. Anyone except someone that childless. Rashi explains because Bittel Taylor. It's clear if the Gemara singles out Shuv and Levi for that. Apparently, no one else did that. Everybody else went to Nichum Avelim. Even people died and left children and grandchildren. And there's a clear sense that there was a balance there. Whatever it is, Zohar, which I probably must have quoted in that context too, is even sharper than Moss says there that. Chmini Metradian, both of whom were on the verge of being executed by the Romans. He is better off because he learned Talmud. Of the Avdolos and Patav, so Chmini Metradian, Shkoshit Fasla Dover Echot. אלי שתפסת חמישה דברים. אמר להם חנינה, אשכח שתפסת חמישה דברים, ואתה ניצר. אלי שתפסת דברים אחד, ואין לי ניצר. שאת עסק בתור במשך סוד, ואת עסק בתור בלבד. הדגמר הזה goes on to quote a frightening memory. רביד אמר רב, יום רב, פסק סזן דברי, ימים רבים ישראל לא אלוקי אמת, רואים אלוקי אמת, פרד עבד יש שם להם, לא אלוקי אמת, הדגמר עושה שכל הישי בתורה, בלבד, it's a frightening memory. The Baal was ready to take it by this and see what he talks about. So I think it's clear that the proportions can vary. And there are all kinds of equations which point in that direction. There's a halacha based on Yerushalmi. ועשו את המתה בגיע זמן קריאת שמע, פוסק וקורא מברך לפנו לאחר, ועושה בצרכי רבים, לא יפסוק, אני אגמור הסכם ויקרא אם נשאר זמן עת לקרות. איך לא נשאר זמן? Shami says, "Raisi b'tzorchi rabim, kaisi b'tiradami." Now this has two formulations. The Rambam, this I think is most shining. But you assume it's halacha lemaisa. Kaisi b'tzorchi rabim. You don't need to learn Krishma. Part of Krishma. And in a sense, with the Rambam passage, it's more than the Vritera. He says it. Stop learning, and here he says not to stop. Rav Yoh quotes it differently. Rav Yoh quotes the beginning of the fifth pack of brachas. Moshe said the person should only be mispalel mitech simcha shel mitzvah, eibah chore, etc. And mitech dvar aloch. So in brachas, there are several examples of maimorim which are familiar. Therefore, will not divert your attention in the middle of Daniel to start thinking about the Kseis. And so the various examples got the what if it's Roim, the Ramzeh's Chum, the right to Nida, etc. In Yerushalmi, another instance of that, such a familiar memory, is that Kaleisi B'Tera, Kaleisi B'Tzachi Rabbi, B'Tzachi Tzibar, about the exact formulation, Kaleisi B'Tera Dom. That is presented not as a very narrowly based specific directive with regard to whether to stop say Krishna or not. But in general, it's a value judgment. It's an abstract value judgment which has applications in various areas. And of course, this is not to suggest that it diverts attention when you're learning. There's a remarkable medrash at the beginning of Parshas Vayera. Pasuk Keles Kehoshek Yoled Chacham VeYabed Et Lev Matana. So who was that before? So the medrash said the first to Moshe Rabbeinu. He began to raise in Tzachi Tzibu. He became Sefer God. That was Nichshol. The end of Rabbi Reish Shalom Azeh was Nichshol. One of the Amiroim, his name escapes me at the moment, says, since the B'yis and Tzach Yitzib, we forgot 80 halachas in one area of Tyrus. But the question is, number one, do these public needs need to be served? And by whom are they going to be served? And secondly, which refers back to the Gemara of Ezra quoted before, when not the public need is stressed, but the personal spiritual need. These are two separate issues, I think, but both are relevant. My Megillah practically understood also there was a difference between with God to Mordechai. Because it says at the end of the Megillah that it was Rosh Roi Vechov. So the Pashtus, Pshut Shemiko Roi Vechov, means the plenitude of Echov. It doesn't mean the majority. Say, Hulub Revet Ishbacha is. Doesn't mean the majority, but plenitude. Chazal darshan the Reivecha, the majority. And which is why, but there was some who were vociferously critical, because he was perish from Sanhedrin and he went into public service. But apparently he thought it was okay, and apparently most of the others also thought it was okay, but it's a minority that didn't. So I don't think you can oversimplify with regard to these things. There are public needs, but also private needs, maintaining a certain kind of balance. I don't think that there's a single answer for the whole range of individuals who may vary in terms of talents, in terms of inclinations. I think that's a legitimate mode. Again, assuming that a fundamental infrastructure is maintained, and not only established and put in place at some basic level early in your life, but is vivified subsequently in all aspects of it. I think that's never partial. At some abstract plane, you might say, well, if we had nothing else to do, if the Rishon had constructed the world in such a way, we would be Isaac only in Taylor. But if that's questionable. In an ideal world, no one would be in need, you wouldn't need to be in Chassadim. And no one would, he wouldn't quite feel a Bakoshe, because you wouldn't need to be a Bakoshe, it would be available. But that's still only there with Tfilah of Shevach. And I presume some level of Chesed. Medrash speaks in the Pasuk, says, Goyim and Nafshi Yish Chesed. Who to was that before? For Medrash, the first Tehillah. Medrash at the end of Bahar. First Tehillah. Why? Because Hillel, who is given Nafshi Yish Chesed? The person does Chesed to himself. Nurtures, takes care of himself, is also given as Chesed. The idea of tefillah, even there should be no need. Medrash says that tefillah, Medrash still in two places, that kol hakorban is p'tel lava, lasid lava, chutz the korban teida. Means lasid lava means when there will be no need, no evil, no sin, chatas hashi would need, korban teida would be in place. Meaning that there's some level of that which would divert attention to Talmud Torah, would still be there. Rambam, of course, in his description, with this he concludes Mishneh Torah, Mesa Mashiach focuses somewhat more in the direction that you cite. באותו הזמן יש שום נוראה ולא מלחמה ולא קינה ותחרות, שהטובה תהיה מושפעת הרבה, כל המעדנים מצויים כעפר, ולא יהיה עסק כל עולם לדעת השם בלבד. לפי כך יהיו ישראל חכמים גדולים, יודעים דברים חסדומים, ישיג בדעת בורם כפי כוח האדם, שמה כמו לעשות את השם במים ובחסים. That is a presentation of a certain ideal order, which there's no need, and it's all plenitude, etc. But even that, the Rambam doesn't say people will do nothing else. Lo yaseik kol haolam. In terms of Asik, Asik is more than what activity you engage in. Asik is something that, it's a vocation, it's a calling. And it's clear what the Rambam has in mind. Remember, this is the last halacha in Mishneh Torah, the last halacha, Hilchos Malachim, u'milchamoteihem. These Rambam are just Hilchos Malachim. The Frankel Rambam, it says in the top, full capture, u'milchamoteihem, milchamoteihem. The Rambam says is, I've given you over here 11, 12 parkim in Hilchos Malachim, which deals so much with mundane reality, political reality, social reality, economic reality, with war, with all kinds of terrible things which you need. That's not going to be. That'll be the role of the Chol Kino V'Tachus. But does that mean that no one will sing, and no one will follow, no one will engage in positive interpersonal relationships? I don't think I'm into that in mind at all. We're always mindful, and I think correctly so, Shalom, because of Shuvin Yechoyiz, having said, here at Maimon HaSinai, with a reservation for two mouths. One to be Isaac Talmud Torah, the other in everything else. And that, of course, gives a very special position to Talmud Torah, which is very characteristic of our Hashkafe. But even so, the other mouth, which would be Isaac also Mila Dalme, would be a mouth for but I do feel that there's room for some degree of priorities. The more singles out of Shuvin Yechoi, as he was part of Tefillah, according to Bavli, he's supposed to show me, he's part of the Kishon from Tefillah, because Terasu of Nusay. So Bechner said, that's all Shuvin Yechoi Bechavero, but not like us. So Bechner really thought that he was not that Madrega. So there may be very rare individuals, the person like the Goyen, certainly, because Hashem would waste his time and other things. That is part of the discussion at the end of Baal Oischo with regard to Moshe Ba'arin and Miriam and Aaron as opposed to Moshe. They question if celibacy is just an example of Chishut in general is good. So why have they been allowed to maintain normal married lives with other components? If it's not good, why Moshe Rabbeinu doing it? The answer they get is that he's unique, he's different. By definition, uniqueness means that's not the ordinary path, ordinary people. And the Rambam makes a point of this. He said that Torah, when he talks about the distinctions of the different Nevi'im, שרבן אינו כן, אלא כל זמן שיחפוץ כל הקודש לו ושתו ונבואת שורה עליו, ואינו צריך לכוון דעתו להזדמן לה, שהוא מכוון ומזומן בעומד כמלכי השרת. לפי כך מתנבא בכל עת שנאמר עמדו ושמו מצווה השם לכם. וזה הבטיחו הקל שנאמר לכם אמור להם שובו לכם לא עליכם, ואתה פה עמוד עמדי. הלא אמרת שכל הנביאים, כשנבואה מסתלקת מהם חוזרים לאור עולם, שהוא צורכי הגוף כולם כשאר העם. לפי כך אין פורשים מנשותיהם, או שרבי לא חזר לעולו הראשון, לפי כך פירש מן האישה לעולם, ודומה לו קשירת דעתו לצור העולמי ונסתלק מעליו ההוד העולם וכאן הוא פעלם להתקדש כמלאכים. I'm saying this is a kind of status of Malachi HaShoros and Rishon HaBeim. No one else is like that. But the balance, because that needs to be worked out with an eye to personal needs, personal aspirations, personal inclinations, and what the public needs.
Just to clarify, have you put that into, like, I know there's a true value motion who puts it in terms of like a Meister type of balance.
I don't think that I would speak in terms of some kind of gross quantitative element. It's a question which needs to be approached with some degree of flexibility with regard to both the public and the private sector. Clearly, what Rambam describes in an ideal world, to devote 10% of your time to learning would be far below the what should be the presumed norm. On the other hand, people who are not in such a fortunate situation, maybe they give 5%, and if that's all they can do, that's Hashem Chesed Shalom. Rishonim say that the concept of Nusay not one which means that you do nothing but learn. What it means is, it's really the Raman Rosh Sel Aloch. What it means is that is your calling, that's your vocation, at a spiritual and a personal plane. When you have quote unquote spare time, you learn, that's what you do. What the vicious spirit time is, of course, is a question. You know, spirit from what? You can enter a profession or pick some kind of career, which is also 15 hours a day, and then you say, well, I'll have very little spirit time. On the other hand, pick a career which is far less demanding, maybe far less remunerative, and have much more spirit time. Those two separate issues. Which train do you get on to begin with? Once you're on the train, how much can you manage? Yes?
Luchas, you mentioned last week, you mentioned of Kluk's position that Kabbalah's people of Mashiach are going to be vegetarian. How is that position consistent with our belief in the eternity of the Torah?
How is that position what?
Consistent with our belief in the eternity of the Torah.
I don't remember how he works this out. There were certain changes in Mesa Mashiach. As I mentioned before, the Medrash Kalkos Tinolos Lovei. Now, there one could understand that Medrash in a different vein, not that the halachis would change, but the opportunity. There would be no chetz, there would be no chatas, no ashom. But does that refer also to no Korban Pesach and the like? I don't know how that's to be understood. My guess is that probably he relates this at some point in that essay. But if I remember, if I can find it before I finish unpacking this phone, I'll try to look it up. Yes?
In the yeshiva day school where I went in America, and I believe many yeshiva day schools, when the teacher teaching Chumash Bereishis got to the quote unquote more unsavory portions of the Torah, like Maisa Dino or Maisa Yehuda and Tamar, I think the teacher usually skipped over and didn't teach them at all. We skipped to the next parak. Wanted to know if Ravan thought that was the appropriate approach for a Mechanech to take, is to skip over these tablets or to approach them maybe a sensitive way with young Talmidim.
Yes, but I think much as Chazal thought. More important. These issues are subject of some Gemara in Megillah, Mishnah in the Gemara. Ruvain Yikra Volo Mitage Mitage Masi Tamar Yikra Mitage Masegel Rishon Yikra Mitage Mashin Yikra Volo Mitage. There was a Braise Yesh Nikrin Mitagmi, Yesh Nikrin Volo Mitagmi, Yesh Nikrin Volo Mitagmi. There was that give a list of the things that you're interested in. Ones that Maser Sholem, Maser Nikrin, the Lomitagim, Maser Ruben, Krav Lomitagim, Maser Gilashini, etc. Here you have, of course, the fundamental issue, which relates, as you correctly put your finger on it correctly, to a matter of educational policy, especially in educational policy. It's a question of the balance between fidelity to the accuracy of truth and historical element, and sloughing over certain elements out of concern, presumably, for one of two things. Either reputation, the dignity of the people about whom you're reading, or upon he who will be hearing the story and how they'll respond, what the impact upon them will be. There was now clearly the need to strike some balances here. I believe in Yerushalmi there's certain differences also, but I don't remember that so specifically. And as you probably know, these issues have surfaced in our time as well. The debate which you had in various formulations, the Torah Matter Journal, there was some pieces some couple of years ago, with Schwab, it said that we all know the Gedolim have certain faults, but we shouldn't let our children, our grandchildren, know the secret. We should just paint their portraits without the warts, etc. Some people were very critical, and pieced back and forth in the Torah Matter Journal. These issues came up with regard to Rabbi J. Schechter's dealing with the situation, his letters, his correspondence, and more recently with regard to the making of a Gadol, which there was some piece of, there's some people. But also felt either these things should be learned Nikro, or at least let me target him. I grant you, of course, that the whole issue is very much more problematic if we're dealing with Torah and Chumash, not just, you know, with the reputation of this God or that God. But I think this Gemara, context within which you have to consider this, and what are the considerations, what are the facts you need to consider to make such judgments. It was, by the way, I don't remember which year it was, in the Gadim, which is put out in Chumash and Tanakh by the Michlal Arai Yeshiva, there was an exchange, a very interesting one, between Yaakov Medan and I forget who the other one was. I think it's Rabbi Chavov, it was a while ago, about this very issue. Probably the case that you're talking about, maybe two factors which need to be considered, additional factors. One is, what do you assume is going to be the likely result if these are quote-unquote censored? if the result is that every kid in the class is going to go around to see what it is to be skipped, maybe counterproductive. My first year that I lived by Kama, I was 9 years old. And no one quite knew what it was all about, but understood something problematic. And there were boys in the class who made a point of trying to unearth the facts. That's one factor to consider. But some people who think that today kids are exposed to so much that it doesn't really introduce them to the facts of life, which otherwise they wouldn't know, and you're better off learning these parshas and trying to cope and explain them. That gives you at least some measure of control over how you interpret the story, but slightly put on the 30% of the figures that are there. Based on Chazal, Midrashim, of course, it also involves taking a certain position. If you read the story of Isidina, you have to take some position as to the conflict in Midrashim as to where she stood. Was she anxious to stay with him? She or not? And of course, the Maaseh Shimon ben Levi. Do you follow the Rambam? Do you follow the Rambam? I don't think that one should absolutely refuse to skip certain things, but I think that probably the extent which that is wisely, prudently done today is different from what it was a generation or two ago. Exposure is so much greater. Damage is skipping maybe greater than going over. But it's an educational issue, and you still confront it. You have to also deal with the variables, what age are the kids, and what is their orientation, religiously speaking. How would they respond to one interpretation, another interpretation? But it's an issue. Yes?
Many times in the Parsha of Shulchan Aruch, the person writing will say that Maker did one could be Makil, but they'll then conclude the Tshuva by saying either Mubal Nefesh Yachmir or Mahmachmir Tavlo Abraha. First of all, is there a difference between the two statements of Mahmachmir Tavlo Abraha versus Mubal Nefesh Yachmir, and is there a value in being Machmir in Koshish for the Shitas Yachmir? In general, is there a value to
Homer? That first question, I can't tell that I've checked it. I imagine with computers it's easy to check today. Get a list of certainly in terms of the connotations, Hamach V'Tov L'Bracha is a much broader statement about nefesh. Baal nefesh suggests a certain category of people, Baali nefesh, special people. For that, there'll be machmer. It's not something which is recommended or suggested to each and every person. That's context which appears in Gemara Nida, and I believe that's the general association. Machmer lebracha, I think, is a much more general guideline, a recommendation, not every person, every situation, was it balanced by other considerations, where the problem of Yuvah comes up and other issues we have to do with it. The question of Chesh V'Deis Yochi is one which has gained a great deal of provenance in our day. People of Chesh have many more sheets than they used to be Chesh for. More. It's partly because there are more of them accessible, more Sfarim, more exposure to Sfarim. On the other hand, as my brother-in-law has written, there's less of a reliance on accepting Minhagim, and the security of knowing what you're doing is proper, if that's what's been done traditionally, that's when the greatest is attenuated. Maybe there's also more Yirat Shemayim today, I don't know. There's no question that many things you find in Rishonim, Avdel Achrinim, people will be shocked today. Let me just take one example, two examples of Tia Shefer. One, in Tashrat, the Shibach Ashtei Nishimas. I believe that if I'm correct, the Chabad says, Tkiyas Dimum, Yushev, and one Tkiyas Dimum, and another way, Mechesh, and both days. This is Yetzir Kodesh Hashimus. Ramos says, no, we only know everything is Shtei Nishimas. Finished. Even though it's not such a tremendous effort, but that was his meaning, and he felt the need to support the meaning and to disseminate the meaning. But I four weeks today, if I remember correctly, we got the length of Tkiyas and Shvarim. Also, I think he says that certain days you don't need, if you guys having a Tkiyah of 9 Trumitin as being a sort of a chumre. You know, if it's less, also it's okay. That's why Rabbi Yerushalayim is so supportive of that. There are many, many similar examples. Whether some middle of the inclination to Chesh V'Deis Yochid is certainly greater than it used to be. In our community today, it's also to a great extent easier to do it. People are relative to what they were a generation or two, a century or two ago, they're much more affluent. Technology has made it possible to avoid all kinds of issues. And there's more of a mindset in that direction. Some of it I think is positive, not all of it. To a great extent, what you have in the Gemara and many of the Shirim were adamant about this. There were, it's the Gemara talks about Gitin, but in Pesachim it appears in a much broader context. And I think the problem there is not just, you know, are you going to cast dispersion on an earlier generation? It's also what kind of arrogance and sense of superiority is coming to the fore in doing that. And the basically Mr. Desha is a true person with Gadir Chaseirovin, involving what maybe he thought was the Rabbanon, according to all Shem hold, that you need the possible Rabbanon, it's no good, it's the Reise. And he says again, somebody came one of them, Sakin Deirovin, and they proved him. He says, no. Those are issues you need to be considered. And the whole issue of Yuaro, which relates not only to what you do, but why you do it and what spirit you do it, is one which needs to be very much inculcated. Not only what we do, but why we do it and how we do it.
Rabbi or communal lay leader in futures Muslims will be one to most likely to be asked to serve as a representative of the Orthodox community in a program or on a committee with other quote unquote representatives of other denominations, such examples being like a council board of rabbis, community board of rabbis, or something in the model of the former defunct Synagogue Council of America. What basic guidelines that we often give for deciding what communities and programs to be involved in such circumstances?
It's hard to speak of basic guidelines because so much depends on the context and the implications and the interpretation we just put upon. Issues of this kind, as you know, have divided the American Jewish community and the Orthodox community over half a century. And you know, there are people who are so hung up on this that they overlook almost everything else. And the slightest crack in the wall, they think it's going to bring the whole edifice crumbling down. Something on the Board of Rabbis that you mentioned, I would find, except in very unusual circumstances, but really very unusual circumstances, I would find objection. By and large, what they do can be done in independent channels, and the problematic aspect of this, the problem of legitimization, implicit recognition and leveling, here comes the four particular. Much more so if you had Balabatra sitting together, or if you had Rabbanim sitting together, but not qua Rov, but they were sitting together as individuals, or sitting together on an ad hoc basis. It's context within which their religious identity is highly visible. Far less so than if you're sitting in a committee which dealt with Russian Jewry, or with Eight Israel, or with burial procedures. And certainly areas which require some of the kind of cooperation community-wide basis, I don't think that one should stop talking to foreign rabbis, just talking to foreign rabbis. And I can see situations in which one would work in tandem, but I think the guidelines that you mentioned, to what extent, how much, to what extent the failure to do so, induces an element of divisiveness, the friction and tension. To what extent you're dealing with an issue so analogous to Hobbes' distinction between Klal Chutz and Klal Bifnim, an issue which is religious in nature, spiritual in nature, or more social, political in nature. And when all of this has been said, you have to use Sechel HaYosher to I think some degree of flexibility. Some areas I find, you know, from my vantage point over here, I'm shocked when I hear the extent to which there's divisiveness about this in the States. You know, living here, obviously we have differences and significant differences, but being part of the same state, even people don't recognize the state, but they're part of the state too, means that a certain interest, a certain extent to which you have to work together, and partly because, to use the Gemara's principle, precisely those that are most similar to you, that are most problematic, no one thinks, gives a second thought to have a good program where you have a secular person speak and a Batera speak. He's a Meisim B'chol Yoyim. In America, I think it would be more, maybe a secular person would also have less of a problem with. The denominational issue is also very strong. Fudo called me up some 10 years ago. Fudo learned that I Shibu, totally calls me up and tells me, he's a candidate for a Rabbanus in the upstate New York community, and he's anticipating what question they're going to ask him. One question I'm going to ask him is whether they would have a Yom HaTzmut, a Yom HaShoah, they would have something jointly. I was shocked. I said to him, the Nazis didn't screw it. But he apparently had been given to understand that that would be a hot potato. Yes.
Is there an inherent value in speaking in Hebrew, whether or learning Torah or just common discussions? And I guess
touch the bone.
Is it advisable maybe to learn with the Farusa in Hebrew, even if possibly learning myself for a small amount?
And when that counts, people do that during the Chavrus. I have greater reservations at a public level, but interpersonally, for all that I value and deeply value the position of Hebrew, Lashon Kodesh, I don't think that certainly be even. The nuances are very significant, and the ability to express it freely and accurately and precisely is critical. I certainly would not advise that. When I was here, the first visit to the States in 62, the States, from the States in 62, I went to visit Rabbi Shulz, and he asked your question, but from a different perspective. He asked me what language do people learn yeshivas in America, what language they learn, but learn them by themselves. And I said, Banglit. And his response was, Bevadai, Sfat Haaretz. And I realized that he was fighting a battle here against Yiddish speaking yeshivas. I had much more of a problem. And some anguish with regard to this, more public plane in Eretz Yisrael. But that specifically your question, there is value, but the question is what price you pay for it.
The Torah specifically sees a value, or Eretz Yisrael specifically to sort of fit in?
If you ask me whether this particular place for Hebrew in Eretz Yisrael, Dafke.
With Lashon HaKodesh, does it have a specific inherent value? And to be speaking of all learning, even if it, if a person was fluent in Hebrew and lived in America, would it then be advisable for him to learn through the Chuvus of Lashon HaKodesh?
So Rambam speaks, with Mishnah speaks, Mishnah, Mitzvah Kalo, Rambam says it means Lashon HaKodesh. Does that mean? So is it to be Kavanah? The Mos says that this person, Mechalach is child, the first thing he starts with also, Tishma Lashon HaKodesh. That I think is a value. But again, I think it's a question you have to weigh, you know, what price you pay for it. Within my own personal, interpersonal context, I was raised by my parents, neither of whom were not sorted in the 60s, in Hebrew. We lived in France, we lived in England, we lived in America, also only in Hebrew. My own children, when we lived in America, and I, before we moved here, spoke them only in Hebrew. And I continue to speak them only in Hebrew, but here it's not surprising. But I speak to my wife in English. A neighbor of mine decided that it was important for his shot to know Yiddish. If he had Hebrew and English, he would know from the surroundings, know Yiddish. And so he began trying to teach the kid Yiddish. The problem was he didn't know Yiddish too well himself. And I said to him, "Are you capable of yelling at your child in Yiddish?" And he said, "No." With his own palace. Yes.
If faced with the choice of two schools, one with the track record of emphasizing strong language in Kodesh at the expense of, let's say, deficiency in building mitos, and the other, the opposite, strong mitos, the track record shows, but not a great Torah education, which is the better of the two? And I guess a related question, can we rely on the home realistically to fulfill the deficiency in either area?
These are some of those painful issues that come up. And they are a severe critique, in fact they do come up, the general Dati-Lumi community here or about Orthodox community in America. If we were Kimsukonim Shibuem, these issues wouldn't come up, and they come up all the time. Someone called me just the other night, kept me for half hour on the phone from the States. A fellow who learned the Yeshiva many years ago. Now he's in, you know, he lives in the States, and told me he has a problem. Problem is not quite new vein, but in similar vein. He himself was a physician, and doing well in his career. Lives in a community where there are two kinds of schools of which you speak. And one of them, he was concerned about the balance of secular studies, Talmud Torah and the Echaretz. In one of them, the learning was strong, but he says in reality, by the time the kids came in the seventh grade, they stopped teaching secular studies altogether. He told me that they took a second kid to Bet Malabed and decided that he could teach math. He could give him a Malabed and decided he could teach social studies. Kids do nothing. Pull this kid out. But they're then in a place. Learning is weak. Someone called me 3 days ago. Right here. Lives in the arrivals of Yerushalayim. And the school that the kid was in, he's on a kitabed. He said, "Can't really continue. It's not a proper school." He considered two options. One of them, along the lines that you mentioned, one of them is a school which learning is not so strong. But he said he was amazed. He came to see what was going on over there. Kids, he says, are so decent, so civilized, so sensitive to each other. Mom just threw him for a loop because he thought barely happened to set his kids there. But the other place, which is much stronger learning, he says the kids are wild, they're not disciplined. It really is very painful and often to me. So I said to him partly, but you mentioned, said you have to decide what your priorities are, and then decide to what extent you can balance at the home that which the school is not giving. Would it be easier for you to add more learning in the school, which is weaker on learning, or to add more? Was more with the community problem called the tradition of civility, the school is strong, the learning is strong. I think that you have to remember the two different kinds of issues here. One has to do with deficiency. They learn more, they don't learn enough, they don't learn enough meters, all of this. The other has to do with what is much more problematic. That is what kind of cultural, educational message school gives. If you have a child in a school, the school pulls one way, you're pulling the other way. It's bad for the child psychologically, but it's bad for the child spiritually. To convey a message that he can sort of tune out on one part of what the Rebbe says, but to tune into other things that he says. That's not going to encourage respect for figures in authority. It will give a very bifurcated kind of perception. deficiency, I think, if you have the time and the effort, the energy, the will, you can do a good deal. But you have to run counter to the attitude, the position of the school. I think it's much more problematic. I think there's a third component that you didn't mention, which is what I stressed to this fellow and the second one I spoke to. You mentioned strength of learning on the one hand, leaders on the other hand. Both are important. But what I think probably needs to be priority over both factors, in a sense, if I had to choose, is question of Yiras Shamayim. Question of commitment, the depth of commitment, intensity of commitment, the extent to which a kid absorbs the sense, his life is to be focused around the world of Avedis Hashem. That I think is more critical, more crucial than the extent of the learning or the extent of the refinement, depending on what you mean by midas. I mean, if you mean that people are simply corrupt morally, the chelas kol malateva. But what you mean is that they're not sufficiently socialized in a cultural sense. I think certainly not only Yiras Kedem to Chochmas, Yiras Kedem also needs kind of things. To some extent, of course, what many people try to do is to move to communities where there's adequate schooling. But there are all kinds of problems which come up in that connection, and it's not always possible. Yes.
I read an article that had an interview with Shmuel Kamenetsky, the internet, and he basically came across that the internet is one of the biggest concerns of this generation, if not the biggest, them having to fight it. And basically, I mean, the article, the mice, it seemed like he was advocating a position that a person should only have internet in his home mishas atchak if he needs it for business, and it should be limited. So my general impression is that in our community, this is not the mitzvah, this is not the case. So I just wasn't sure if that's a failure on our part, or is that more openness on our part? And if it's more openness, then how do we respond to exactly his tainas and what he thought was a problem with it?
You know what Lionel Tulling used to say? Some people are so open-minded, their brains fall out. That there's a lot of trash and a lot of garbage out there on the internet is without a question. And also it's very difficult for many parents, as for the children particularly, it's for themselves, they produce a discipline. From what I gather, I don't know too much about it, but I gather it's very difficult to control. One time there were libraries. First, the libraries censored themselves, so what they kept, what they didn't keep. Secondly, kid had come, took a book out, you would see what he was reading, what he brought home. It was a physical book that you could look at. In the current state of contemporary technology, it's so much more difficult to know what's being seen. It's also that's more difficult to define, but certainly more difficult. I would imagine that I might be more open to certain things than the Shmuel Kamenetsky is, but the principle, namely that a person needs to be careful as to what he brings into his home, particularly if people have children, young children, I don't think that can be challenged. I don't think one should challenge it. Maybe it's the difference of where you draw certain lines, but there should be lines, educational lines, spiritual lines. Da, da, da. First of all, the question of Bittelsmann. There are people who find themselves simply hung up and what they watch, and hours upon hours, which could be more constructively used, go to waste. But then, apart the question of Bittul Torah, question of the corrosive influence, and that certainly, this respect problem is certainly much more acute than it used to be. Okay, started with you, we'll finish.
Thank you.